I was watching the movie Radio Days over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite Woody Allen movies. Our friend Seth Green, that was my first starring role.
Whom I was watching in Mars Needs Moms this weekend.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He played like the Woody Allen stand-in character. I think that was his first big part.
When he was a wee baby.
Yes, yes. But anyway, I was watching that movie and I was struck by... There's that one sequence in there where they show a radio show that Woody Allen is talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like the married couple talking from their lovely Manhattan penthouse.
With their swanky drinks.
With their swanky drinks, and they're having their orange juice in the morning and the coffee. They're talking about all the Broadway folks they know.
Puff, puff pontificate.
And I was thinking, you know, that's not so different than you and me. I mean, here it is. We have our broadcast, and we talk about things we do and people we know, and we're kind of like that.
Oh, what a nice thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a thought! My thought is I don't freaking think so! At what point in time did this become a mansion?
Fresh.
And also,
Fresh.
What friends do you have? You don't have anybody to talk about. The only thing you'd be likely to talk about is what you put on your cereal.
Well, way to destroy the illusion, Rashi. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, if Mom doesn't destroy it first, I'm always able to be counted upon.
It's almost live with Paul and Misty, and since we've been aptly insulted, we might as well try another one.
Yeah, well, you know, we're good for insults. We take a lot of those around here. Whether or not we insult ourselves or our sock monkey children take care of it for
that's
us.
That's right. So. But there is one thing that Rashi was wrong about, and that's that we don't have friends. Because as a matter of fact, we have our very first maiden Almost Live with Paul and Misty guest tonight.
Yes, we do.
Woo!
And we have...
And Ezra's so excited, he's lost control of his wind.
Yes.
Wait a minute, that didn't... I'm just going to stop.
Our guest is a gentleman we've known for quite a few years now.
And one of the co-creators of Rashi, really.
Yeah,
He's the reason Rashi exists on the net. Let me put it that way. We created Rashi, but this guy...
Gave Rashi his big break.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. And so, ladies and gentlemen, may we please introduce to you Mr. Kenneth Plume.
Famous and legendary.
Wow. I'm just getting over it. I guess I really do fit the almost live part of this, though.
He's wringing his hands, guys. He's so ready to talk to you.
Kenneth is one of the lights every year of Dragon Con. You always do such a magnificent job with the programming and the
One of the lights.
Yes, well, you know, how do I...
It's true, though.
Stars...
When the batteries change, the light works. Okay. But other than that...
Come on. Yeah. There were a ton of people at your event this year. Ken is also the fellow who puts together the Need Coffee stuff. And he also works with Widge. And they put together this awesome star-studded panel of a-holes. And we all get together.
A-list a-holes.
Nice. Well, it's a very exclusive list we put together over the years.
Yes.
Continually revised.
And reviled, apparently.
Yeah, revised and reviled, and I just got knocked off. So.
No, I think you've just been raised up on the list.
Yeah.
But it's really, really fun, and they put everybody together, and we all play games and sing things that embarrass us, and it's a really good time.
It's a nice way to waste an evening.
Yeah. It's a great purpose to go to a convention other than dinking around the dealer's room and going, should I buy this comic book or not? Should I buy this artwork or not? Or in the case of Dragon Con, should I buy these steampunk goggles or not?
The answer is yes to that every time.
What, the steampunk goggles?
Always buy steampunk whenever.
Oh, yeah, steampunk is awesome.
It's so great.
I don't know.
Well,
I
what people don't know is that here at that Dini Mansion, there's actually a steampunk room that is just full of steampunk goggles.
Well, that's true.
Nothing else, steampunk.
That's
just
true.
Goggles.
Just the goggles.
And a wind machine so you can use them.
That's right. That's right.
In case there's emergency welding that ever has to be done here.
We are all set.
I make enemies every year at Dragon Con by not taking it seriously because like last year there was a real nice pair of like bronze goggles and I was trying them on and there was this other guy standing next to me, you know, trying on a pair and I said to him, you know, in good humor, I said, so you're going to Snoopy too for Halloween? And he just kind of looked at me like, yeah.
You should have said steampunk Snoopy, then he would have agreed.
Oh, okay. All right. If you preface everything with steampunk.
Yeah, of course.
Well, did you see the masquerade at Dragon Con this year?
Oh, no, I avoided.
Oh, it was great. They had
hold on. It's Dragon Con.
It was great.
Let's just let people know. Dragon Con is full of people in costumes.
This is true.
Every day of Dragon Con.
This is true.
There's a redundancy in having a masquerade at Dragon Con.
It's really Coles to Newcastle in the case. Like, yeah.
Yes, however. Yeah. Seeing the entire Justice League in steampunk was brilliant, and seeing the X-Men, how many people were up there? 25? Like 25 X-Men characters dressed in steampunk style, and their costumes were so perfect, and they were so detailed and amazing.
25 Nightcrawlers.
No, they were all Yeah.
Well, it's worth it just to hear Peter David hosting the event, and with his daughter.
Dressed as Baby Huey.
Is that what he was dressed as?
No.
Peter.
Oh, man.
No, I meant Peter, but was Peter dressed as Baby Huey?
No, his daughter was dressed as Astrid.
Astrid, yeah, from How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay. Yeah, she looked so cute, and she was swatting at people with her sword.
Yeah,
does Peter do costumes? Besides just putting on a Star Trek uniform?
I don't think so. Well,
then George Perez always wears a Hawaiian shirt.
Unless he's performing at local theater.
Is that a costume or a uniform at this point?
Yes, to both.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, he's performing at what, where?
Unless Peter is performing at local theater, as he is wont to do on occasion. I understand his Marion Sam is very good.
Well, yes, we heard it at the Magic Castle. We were waiting for the show to start, and he started singing.
If you ever want to find him, just look for the karaoke room.
And you know, he's got a beautiful voice. He's really good. Does.
But he's a karaoke bully, from what I hear.
He'll
bump you off.
Really?
Yeah, if he wants to karaoke, there's no stopping Peter.
He'll
command a room.
Nice. Man. Kabuki karaoke.
Avoid.
That tempts me to kick it up a notch, you know. Not do karaoke. I'm talking about let's get a band together and let's have a sing-off. Although I have heard him sing with a band and he is pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
I believe you. Like I said, he's got
this
a really nice
kind of karaoke
voice.
Sharks and Jets you got going on here?
No, rather than do that, I preach unity. I would rather than, you know...
Practice division.
Nice.
How about we sing? How about we all sing together and make some nice music?
How about we don't sing?
All right.
How about that?
We could not do that.
Yeah, we could not sing.
We could go ahead with my life-changing plan to form a ukulele.
This is why you want a guest. You want someone to decide these things.
That's right.
I see. You've tricked me into
this.
You're
the decider.
No. I can abstain, right?
Nope.
That's why we had you put on the ref shirt.
That's right.
What about my ukulele band?
What about it?
It's a rockabilly band except with ukuleles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you call it Fred?
Fred?
No, wait. We can't because that's Ken's site. So we're back to Ken now and off the ukulele band.
I claimed all Fred.
Was that smooth?
It was very smooth.
It really wasn't.
Right.
I was sitting there waiting for him to stop his sentence so that I could kind of transition over to you. So please tell the boys and girls at home what you do and why you do it.
Oh, I want Paul to finish his thought
first. Oh, I'm sorry.
What about ukulele?
I thought he was done. Are you not done?
No, I'm done. I'm done. It's just a passing fancy.
It's not a passing fancy because you've wanted to do it for like 2 years. Just do it.
All right.
Yeah. All right. That's exciting.
What's stopping you?
He's very good.
I can't play the ukulele.
Oh, yes, you can.
Besides that, what's stopping you?
You mean an accordion player?
An accordion player?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You're like the musical misfits.
Does anyone own a jug?
Yes, and you got the jug. I'll play the juarp.
All right.
Nice, we're set.
I'm putting a hole in the wash tub.
Yes.
And we're going to start ourselves.
You know, we've got a washboard. Where is it? Emily, is it on
the piano.
Is it on the piano?
There you go. Emily,
or
play
as we
washboard.
Call it in the washboard.
I got the washboard.
Washboard trade. Banana.
Banana.
The banana.
Nice. Yeah, there's thimbles and stuff. It's back there. I'm just saying. We've got a washboard already. Spoon.
I don't know. You know, I'm not terrible on you.
You are fantastic.
Where's the ukulele? No, this is where's the ukulele for the podcast audience. Let's hear a little ukulele.
Will you play us out?
You can't deny a guest, right?
You'll play us out. Will you play Folsom Prison, please? Because it's my favorite thing that he plays on the ukulele.
All
well, right. I shot a man in Reno, chinka, 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 just to watch him die. Chinka, 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 chinka.
Only if you can do the air ukulele, chinka, 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 chink, with a boy named Sue. Can you do that?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, I can do the air. I just can't sing along with it. I don't know the words to that one.
Let's make them up.
Yeah, okay. I can. Well, boy named Sue's site called Fred. Here we go again. Tell the people at home. I am obsessed with getting you to talk, sir.
What? I haven't stopped.
Well, I know that you have to tell them what you do so that we can
tell us
you.
Your history, sir.
Now it's an inquiry. This is it. It's not a guest. It's an interrogation.
That's right.
Yes.
Give me that white light. Where's that flashlight? It's gone.
I'm now officially filler in the podcast.
No.
Oh, tell us something.
The blinder.
Good.
Please, turn that off.
I've now been blinded by the light.
Are you
going to
sing that song now?
Blinded by the light?
Yeah.
Hopped up like a... No, what is it? Hopped up like
Racked
a deuce?
Up like a deuce, another roller in the night.
Yes.
Nobody seems to get this right.
Well, I got the deuce part. I knew that.
Because everybody thinks he's saying something else.
Yeah. Well, like a douche.
Yeah,
it could go
that's what
either
it sounds
way.
Like. All right.
What was I talking about?
Your
history, sir. Your history.
Oh, my history. Short of it, I do work for Kevin Smith and his podcast. Mm-hmm. I also do my own site called a site called Fred.com, which has podcasts and interviews.
And a very cute little pilot.
And a very cute little
almost
logo.
Almost steampunk?
Almost. Semi.
Not
steampunk.
Quite.
Pseudo-steampunk.
Pseudo-steampunk, yes.
Flyboy Freddy, which was designed by Adam Coford, the artist behind the LOL Cats.
Oh, nice.
And a lot of...
God bless that man.
John Hodgman's hobos.
Oh, nice.
So he also did the Nuts on the Road logo, which is the
Widget
Nye.
Which you do with Dana Snyder.
Nuts on the Road is Widget Nye.
Oh, that's
Robinson.
Right.
Oh, right.
That's right.
The Ken Peedy Snide cast is what I do with.
That's what it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With the great Dana Snyder. Voice of Master Shake and miscellaneous other things that sound sort of like Master Shake.
Yes. We need to get him down here.
Yeah, we need to get him over
podcast.
Here.
Yeah, yeah.
He lives, that's so brilliant. He lives right by us, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's in it's not one town over.
That's okay, you don't have to tell the people.
No,
at home.
Oh, yeah, like they're
going to
be lining up outside his house.
Watch them. Ladies and gentlemen, let's organize a line in front of Dana's house.
Yes, Keystone
City.
We'll
all open our water bottles and dump them on his lap like Scott adds.
It'll be like Hands Across America.
Yeah.
Yes,
but just a line.
It's folks on Dana's lawn. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have no purpose other than to be there.
No.
He doesn't even have to be home.
Help him with chores.
Yes.
It's like, oh, you got any trash you need taken out, Dana? We're here to help you.
No.
Okay, here. Take my trash. You're great. Thanks, Misty.
I saw him spend like 5 minutes playing Uno on Xbox 360 and just making fun of everybody in the room on the mic, and it was brilliant.
Oh, good.
Nice. Master Shake.
Excellent.
Oh, well, that's Dana in a nutshell. Yeah.
So you've got two podcasts on the site that they can listen to, and you also do other things like...
I do.
Well, yeah. There's
well,
a ton
were
of
out,
stuff
you're out
on
here on the
site.
West Coast. You were up in San Francisco for a Smodcast.
It was up there with Kevin's live Smodcast, and we had some meetings to take with I kicked the mic with the fine folks at Apple, and then came down here and have been doing some work on a Hush Hush documentary project that I'm producing.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And trying to keep up a social schedule with all the wonderful people that I very rarely see because I very rarely make my way out here.
And since they were all busy, he came to us tonight.
Yeah.
I was begged to come out.
Please.
Really was.
Give our podcast some class.
And then when I turned down the begging, they threatened.
It's true.
They know how to hurt.
We knew where you were staying. We were going to send over Rashi. So.
Deep knives.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
And because Misty knows magic, you'll never see her coming.
That's it.
That's right.
That's it. I am a magical ninja, and I will come at you like a spider monkey.
You will, however,
with a
hear
wand.
Paul playing Folsom City as they approach.
That is right.
Yeah.
Very
Folsom
quietly.
Prison. Not Folsom,
Folsom
City.
Prison.
That's okay. You can change the name to whatever you want.
Yes.
Folsom City.
You can go ahead and do that.
Expand it. It's like you go from Arkham Asylum to Arkham City.
Yes. Yeah.
Folsom Prism to Folsom City.
That's right.
Well, there's Lake Folsom up north. It's where we would go boating when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
Folsom Reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
My Uncle Bill would take his boat out, the Titanic 2, which floated.
Is that what he called it?
Yes, which floated just as good as the Titanic 1 because the thing never worked.
There's
you know
a country
grandpa?
Song in that.
Yeah.
You know what else there's a country song in?
What?
Is Granny, why do you have a gun? Because sometimes I just get mad.
Oh, that's...
We were, oh my God.
Yes.
We were at that resort that he was... We were telling him about this resort that we go to in around Paul's birthday because he loves it in Texas.
Yeah.
And this girl, Claudia, who is the wife of the owner, came out
girlfriend.
And was... Well, she wife to be, I think.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
okay.
she was coming out and she was telling us this story about going fishing with her grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that they were packing up to go fishing and her grandmother put a gun in a holster. She like put a gun through her belt loop and she said, "Granny, why are you taking a gun fishing?" And Granny's answer was, "Because sometimes I just get mad." And I thought that is a perfectly acceptable reason to have a gun on your belt loop. But what happened was they were fishing and they caught a decent fish and then an alligator gar ate it. And it wouldn't get off the hook. And so it ate the fish they caught, and they pulled both out of the water.
She shot them, didn't she?
And her aunt, yes, her aunt grabbed the fishing line and held it up over the side of the boat.
Her aunt held it for the grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
Held
right,
it up
yeah.
for the grandmother, and the grandmother whoop, pulled the gun out and
yeah, they've
shot
done
the alligator
that before.
Gar.
Shoot the alligator gar. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's not something you do on the spur of the moment. That's a sport for
that's
them.
That's Saturday
yeah.
afternoon.
Yes.
Yeah. But it was so there's a country song in that.
Well, the alligator gar is the
grandma
asshole.
Shot a fish?
Yeah.
Right off the line pole.
The alligator gar is the asshole of the fish world, just the same way.
Just like the raccoon is the asshole
of the mammal world. And the cassowary.
I want you, Paul, to write a book called The Assholes of the Animal World.
And the cassowary.
Awesome.
The cat, which we discussed last time, the cassowary is the asshole of the bird world.
Of the bird world, yeah. Mm.
God damn the cassowary.
Misty Lee is the asshole of the third world.
What?
That doesn't even make any sense.
Or maybe just call it the Dini Book of Animal Assholes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But it won't just be pictures
the pocket
of the
guy.
Assholes.
Well, I'm sorry. You have to reverse
it's like
that.
What makes them assholes?
The Dini Book of Asshole Animals.
Or animals that act like assholes.
Yeah, the other one could have been taken a little differently.
It'd be like everybody
a different
poops.
Kind
you
of
don't
guy.
Want to
oh,
see that.
Oh, yeah.
The book Everybody Poops. Which also has assholes in it, but the more functional version of them.
I want you to tour schools with this book.
Yeah.
Just to teach kids to identify the asshole animals
now,
around
them. Now, kids, when you're out in nature or the zoo...
Nature's assholes. Call
nature's
it that.
Assholes. There you go. There you go.
Again, could be construed...
not if there's a picture on the front.
Of an asshole?
What? What would you put on the front?
Sure.
Just like a raccoon
I'm
going to
put a
off?
Tally of how many times we say asshole
but
at the bottom of the
I know,
podcast.
Right?
Nature would also
bleep them all out.
Nature would also say that we're moving away from the animal kingdom, which is fine, because I think we'd all agree that kudzu is the asshole of the plant world.
Why the kudzu and not like the Venus flytrap?
Well, the Venus flytrap does something. Kudzu just, you know, is invasive and takes up waterways and
it's
spreads
like
all
carrot
over.
Wood trees or those little chickens and hens things.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Like what?
I don't know what they're really called. I called them chickens and hens when I was little because they look like chicken tails.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's my version of science.
Plants that look like chickens and hens? Are you talking about plants?
That. Yeah.
What plant looks like a chicken?
It looks like a chicken's tail, like the little feathers that... I'm going to stop talking.
No, I'm curious. And it'd be really awkward in a podcast to stop talking.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to be at the point
well,
of a podcast.
It would be awkward if I just stopped talking. It's just, I don't have any information. I'm just going to sit
here. That's why she invited you, so she could stop.
I'm just mute my mic. I'll sit here in shame.
So it looked like the tail of a chicken. I'm trying to imagine chicken. Now the tail of a chicken
like
is just.
This.
Like it fans out.
Yeah.
That could be any plant. They all plant.
Beautiful radio going like this.
Yes.
So like a feather duster.
Like a,
yes.
Yeah.
It looks like a feather duster.
Yeah, but not feathers, actually. It's a little more rounded than that.
And plant-like.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's that also.
Okay. So I'm just trying to... So you called them chickens and hens.
Because I was four.
I'm not
yes.
I'm just trying to get a sense of it.
But they're highly contagious. That's not the word, but... Spread.
Poisonous? Toxic?
No. They just spread all over the place.
Oh.
They're prolific. And
okay.
They spread.
All right. They're like weeds.
Yeah.
All right.
But people grow them on purpose.
Oh.
They're decorative, some kind of a little decorative plant. As I was growing up, a bunch of people that
oh, they grow rather knew. Large. Are you talking about the...
No, they're
how
little
big?
Tiny. They're just like this big. This
okay.
big. Everybody at home, this big is my hands together about the size of a softball. I was like making
right.
a softball size.
Okay.
Thing. Yeah. So
grapefruit.
Like this and this big. Those are my radio moments today.
Fantastic.
Just getting better and better. Can we please talk about you again, Ken?
You ask me a question, I'll answer.
Okay. You've done a lot of work with Terry Gilliam on your site as well.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I've known Terry for over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've done some interviews and features and brought him out for Dragon Con year before last.
Yeah, that's right.
I think. Just someone I know.
What's he up to now? Is he doing another movie after Dr. Parnassus?
I know he's been trying to get his Don Quixote.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he's still trying to do
again.
That? Yeah, I love that documentary. It's amazing to see.
And Johnny we didn't get a movie out of it.
Yeah,
we got
but it was
a movie
amazing
of
to
the,
see.
The reasons why he couldn't make the movie out of it. No, I think he finally got the rights back to that script.
That's
and
fantastic.
Johnny Depp, he wanted
Johnny
to
Depp,
play?
I think, didn't want to do it, doesn't want to
oh.
do it anymore.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
So I'm not sure where it stands.
Hmm.
I haven't heard about it.
Now, he's not a guy who would just take an assignment if it was offered to him, like if, say...
I wouldn't say that. That was Fisher King. That was 12 Monkeys.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, you know, those were studio pictures that he didn't originate, that he came into
okay.
after they, you know, existed. So, no, I think people have a lot of preconceptions about what Terry would or wouldn't do.
Oh,
and
all right.
It's one of those things that, you know, they just don't ask Terry.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well,
so I think it's, Terry, like anyone, if it depends on when you ask him, the answer will be different.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Yeah.
This may not be the forum for it, but Borderlands, the movie that he did a couple back before Parnassus, I heard he wasn't really fond
I mean,
of the... Tidelands. Thank you. Sorry. Borderlands is different. Tidelands. I heard he wasn't fond of the copy that was printed in the U.S., and so I never got around
to
watching
it. Oh, the DVD?
It. Yeah. So I never got around
I think
to watching
there was
it
an issue
was
with the way it was cropped for the 16:9 on the DVD.
Oh, is that it?
Now they're on DVD Tech Talk.
We'll be talking about the various 16x9 cropping issues.
See, I always thought Terry would be great for a... for like a superhero movie or something like that, or a comic book based movie.
Well, I mean, there was all that talk about Watchmen for a long time, where he was bandied about for that, but he didn't want to do it as a film. He always thought it'd be better as a miniseries.
He was right.
Good point.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't get me started on Zack Snyder.
Oh, okay.
as a filmmaker, not terribly impressed.
Is he doing Superman?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes, he is.
All right.
I was just about to shake my head and not say anything, but then podcasting.
Well, I know he's got Sucker Punch coming out this week.
That's Misty's school of podcasting. It's just a
I learned well.
Yes, and then, you're and a then very Superman quick study.
And everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not excited. Nothing against him, but you know, I'm not excited about Superman. A movie about Superman. I'm
interested in Sucker Punch only because it's original.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Superman's always a mystery to me. There are certain characters that I don't know how I would approach them, because if I was doing a Superman movie, I wouldn't want to. I can't think of it as anything but a retread. You're going to have to go back and do the Daily Planet and Lois Lane and Perry White and Jimmy Olsen and all that stuff. And if you could, and the origin.
Why?
Of Krypton.
Why can't? I mean, are all of his Rogues Gallery Earthlings?
No, but I think you'd have to. For me to do a Superman movie that's exciting would have to be kind of at war with, I think, what the classic elements that an audience would want to see. Because I have to take myself out of a fanboy creator point of view about what I would do with Superman and think
Which
in
is
terms...
What? Dark Side?
Well...
Would you go cosmic with him?
Yeah. I mean, if somebody said I could do a Superman movie and you do whatever you want, I would open an apocalypse and I would have Dark Side with this huge invasion army going to get Earth, and him making like a Nuremberg rally type thing of just out there, you know, like we're going to conquer Earth. It's going to be our new bastion. And he'd point to Earth and you'd see a little pinprick of light. They go bigger, 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 bigger. And it's Superman. And Superman goes right to Darkseid and just smashes him in the face. And then we're in the middle of a fight. And he just takes on all of Apocalypse. That would be the first 10 minutes of the movie.
It's fantastic.
And beating the living shit out of Darkseid till he couldn't take it anymore. And smashing and blowing up things. And once he's ended that threat, he flies back home and puts on the suit and goes to work.
Mm-hmm. But we've seen the origin. We don't need to see the origin.
I don't understand why everybody feels they have to relaunch Superman's origin as every time they relaunch the franchise, if you will.
Superman.
You know, I mean, it could
a lot
be
of
done...
it's the ego of the filmmakers that want to put their stamp on it.
I guess maybe.
Like,
but
the statements that Zack's been making, Zack Snyder's been making, all strike me as someone who I'm going to do my Superman. I really don't have a concept of what Superman is. I'm going to make him more real.
Well, that's like what Julie Taymor is doing with Spider-Man on Broadway.
Or
Dana saw
did.
That thing.
Did
that
you see
turn
it?
Off the dark.
We were calling it, instead of Turn Off the Dark, we were calling it Spider-Man Call EMS. Because there were, I think we talked about this on a podcast.
They brought
before.
In new people. They fired the choreographer, brought in a new one, Julie Taymor. They paid
She's
her
out.
Off. She's
Isn't
out.
Isn't it shut down again?
It shut down until
April.
June or April.
Is it April 15th?
For a while, until it goes back to previews. But I don't think it's
June 15th. It's mid-June.
June,
that's right, because it puts it out of contention for the Tonys.
Well, we heard that there were some elements of it that were just brilliant, and I hope they do keep those elements.
I can't remember Dana saying any elements that were brilliant. He said the songs were horrible. Universally, the songs were horrible.
Yeah.
This geek chorus that she created... Her ham-fisted attempt to turn his origin into this mythic Arachne-based origin.
That's arrogant.
You know,
it's her. She's Arachne.
But she is. You know, and we all know the story of Arachne, a woman who was punished by her hubris for offending the gods. And in this case, you know, here it is again.
Ironic.
But it's also when I heard about the geek chorus. Not only had we done something very similar on Batman, you know, but a lot of people had, because we in turn took that from an old issue of Batman where kids are sitting around the fire talking about, you know, what they think Batman is like. So we borrowed that with both hands. But also when somebody who thinks of themselves as an aesthete and, you know, above all that, gives a sop to the geek audience by putting in the geek chorus, it really comes off as sort of like
But she also put it in a way... That was an homage to her, because she made the female geek the only intelligent one who actually creates the myth and explains everything to her dimmer male compatriots.
I've said it. Oh. I said it once, and I'll say it again. Spider-Man is a very simple story. It's the sad American dream. It's a kid chasing a buck. And he can't get it. And, you know, because he is ethical enough that he won't sell out to somebody like J. Jonah Jameson or to Osborn or to anybody else who wants to exploit his either his fame or his abilities. and he stays honest, and as a result, he stays poor. So he can never get, he'll never be Reed Richards. He'll never be appreciated for his talent or his scientific know-how. He'll never have the money of a Tony Stark because he doesn't have that killer edge. So he'll always be poor. Aunt May will always be one step away from death's door.
He's middle America.
He's middle America. He's the guy who tries hard and gets screwed, which is a very dramatic story. It is death of a salesman.
He's not poor. He is average.
It's death of a salesman. Yeah, you know, and it's about a guy who, you know, and he has the same foibles as everybody else, which I think is a good subject for a stage play.
I agree.
And you know, I actually, you know, was kind of dared into, you know.
Well, they did do a good version of it.
What?
You know, it's aged in odd ways, but that rock comic they did in the early 70s is loads better than everything that I've heard come out of.
Yeah. And there's, I can't talk about it. But anyway, there's, the rock comic is something, is an image that
and,
is stuck
and,
in my
you know,
mind.
As tacky, the music is catchy.
Yeah.
And you know who played Peter Parker's Spider-Man in that?
No, I don't recall.
Rene Auberjonois.
Oh, okay. Oh,
who,
that's right.
Who people may know as Clayton Endicott III from Benson and Odo from DS9.
And
nice. Yes. The French chef from Little Mermaid. The
Zootaloo, I have missed one.
I always get him confused. I always want to say I always get him confused with Jerry Orbach.
And he was the Father Mulcahy in the film version of
MASH. Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah, Red.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I by the clock on the wall, it seems like we're running a little long here. So, but this is fascinating. I think we
Let's make this a two-parter.
So
that sounds good.
Sure. Well, you've locked the doors, and I can't get this chain off.
Right.
So yeah.
Okay.
We'll feed you for a week and see you next week.
And we'll come back next week. So we're gonna call it here, and we will take up next week with our friend Ken Plume.
Only, never on request. Don't put your thumb up in the air. Tell me it's over. I'll tell you when it's over. I'm done.